Matthew, the fourth chapter. Today, our text is going to encompass the first through the 11th verse. It was already read in your hearing, so we're going to read key scriptures, which is verse 1 and 11. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil." Isn't that scripture so loaded? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So everywhere you go that is bad doesn't necessarily mean the devil took you there. Sometime the Holy Spirit is going to take you where the devil is to teach you something. Somebody say hallelujah. I didn't say it, Matthew said it. Verse 11 says, "Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus." Right. Amen. Today, I want to talk from the subject matter, a day in the life of a Christian. A day in the life of a Christian. Today, I want to talk about what it really means to be Christ-like from another vantage point. Amen. Let us close our eyes and look away to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, we come right now, lifting you up above the earth, God, expecting you to draw somebody. You said if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. I come right now, God, as I stand behind this sacred desk, saying that, God, that I need your forgiveness. I've done some things, I've said some things that went contrary of your willing way, but you said if I confess my sins to you, that you'd be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, that you'd even cast them into the sea of forgetfulness and choose to remember them no more. Now, God, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I ask, God, that you will lower me into the storehouse of knowledge. Give me content and clarity, a rhema word, God. Lord, we need to hear from you, God. If we don't hear from you, we won't know what to do. And we'll be so ever careful and mindful to give your name the glory and the honor that it deserves, so that self might be crucified, the devil in hell may be horrified, and you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. One person I forgot to acknowledge is my baby sister. Amen. Naomi, wave your hand. Amen. I thank God for her. Amen. Came all the way almost from Indiana. Amen. A day in the life of a Christian. When I was asked to talk for Youth Day, I thought about this real journey that we call Christianity. Let me start by saying this. One of my many jobs is an insurance agent. And I say many jobs because I've got a lot. This rooster got to take care of his little chicks. You do whatever it takes to take care of them babies. Shoes need to be filled, coats. They like little stuff like food and heat. But one of my jobs is insurance agent. And when I meet with clients to sell them products, whether it's homeowners insurance, life insurance, or an auto insurance policy, by law, there are certain terms and conditions that I have to disclose to the client. This is in an effort to make sure that they fully understand the product that they're buying and that they won't be caught off guard. When you buy a home, by law, there are certain items that the seller has to disclose to the buyer. And if you finance this home, there are certain terms and conditions by law, and truth in lending is what they call it, that the mortgage company has to disclose to the person buying the home. Why? Just so they can understand the terms of the product that they're getting into, and they won't get caught off guard down the line. I'll go a step further, and I'll say that if you are ever arrested, by law, police officers have to inform you of your Fifth Amendment rights afforded to you by the United States Constitution. This is an effort to make sure you fully understand your right to remain silent. Most of us need to remain silent, but we just keep talking. But your right to remain silent
so that you won't incriminate yourself in a court of law. So as you can see, there are a number of laws and measures put in place to protect us as consumers and as citizens. However, I believe, as I was thinking about preaching to the youth and preaching to everybody, because everybody is young, but then we get a little aged, I was thinking about the fact that there's one place and one instance where these safeguards and measures are not really in place. And that is the church.
Whoa.
There's safeguards and measures and terms and conditions afforded to everybody at the beginning of any contract. But once we come, we give our life to God, we give the preacher our hand, we come to church, and nobody tells us about what's really going to start to happen once we start to live our life for Christ. People come to church, they give their lives to Christ, and many of them believe that everything is going to be okay. These new converts, we let them believe that getting saved and coming to Christ and coming to church will chase all of their problems away. And this is definitely not the case. I don't know about you, but it was when I gave my life to Christ and I decided to preach, all hell broke loose in my life. It's definitely not the case. I believe we as people of God, the chosen people, are failing to disclose the fine print to these new, fresh converts of Christ. We are failing to disclose to them that when they give their lives to Christ, when they begin to walk in the purpose that God has destined them to walk in, the enemy launches an all-out assault on them in their lives. And if nobody understood this today, it was Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. In our text today, we find Jesus in almost the same predicament. Jesus had just come off a spiritual high. He was around 30 years old. He was a young man. And he had just been baptized, and he was just about to go into ministry. Can I stick a pin in there? Let me tell you something. If you happen to be 30 years old or 30 years old or older, just because you feel that you're not doing what God has told you to do, don't worry about it. Let me tell you something. If you are 40 years old and you still don't think that you are where you should be in life, don't worry about it. Somebody say hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus' ministry in the public didn't begin till he was 30 years old. Here comes Jesus, just baptized, just off fresh, bright-eyed, as my father would say, bushy-tailed. You know how it feels? You feel like Superman. You give your life to Christ, the clouds part, the sun comes through, and everything is going to be all right. But then something happened. The Bible says the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So you mean to tell me, after I give my life to Christ, after I come and give the preacher my hand, and I give my heart to God, and I join the choir, you mean to tell me everything is not going to be all right? No, because the first person that met Jesus after Jesus got this thing together was the devil. Don't be surprised when you come to church and you think you're getting this thing together, and the first person you meet in the church is the... Not in this church, though. I'm sorry. Not in this church, right? That's where you all clap and say, he's right. The devil. Today, I want to discuss in depth the three temptations that Jesus had to endure. Because every temptation as a Christian that we're going to endure is going to certainly fall under that branch. Verse 1 and 2 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. One of the first points that is made evident to us in verse 1 is that Jesus was human. He was actually in a human body. Some thought that God didn't need to eat, but Jesus was hungry. He was in a desert heat. He was thirsty too. Jesus was messed up. 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, fasting, seeking God, not eating, not drinking. Somebody say hungry. And then he went through this thing. And the first person that tempts him and encounters him is the devil. But I want you to know today that it's a good thing that this happened to Jesus. Why? Because as our intercessor, as the one who sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, constantly pleading for us, it is important that Jesus personally understands what we go through and how we're bombarded by the devil on a daily basis. The second thing we see in this scripture is the Holy Spirit at work here. And this is before the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I've got to leave so that the Comforter may come. This is before the Holy Spirit had been properly introduced to us. And the first place he takes him is into the wilderness, a place of neglect, a place of abandonment, and a place of disfavor. When you give your life to Christ, when you live as a Christian, I want you to understand, one of the first places that you're going to go is into some bad, horrible places. And we constantly go in cycles. So if you've been saved 40 minutes or you've been saved 40 years, the same cycles and the same tests. The devil is going to test you the same way over and over and over again. If you like Remy, the devil not going to present you with cigarettes. He's going to give you Remy. Oh, okay, y'all don't know nothing about that. This shows us that every place that God is going to take us is not going to be a good place of good and plenty. Every place that God is going to take us is not going to be a prosperous land of milk and honey. We are going to have to endure some trouble. See, that's the problem with us in church. We only tell people about the good, but we don't tell them how Jesus suffered. And he says, if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross and walk with me. There are going to be some hard times. Somebody say hard times. Everything is not going to be milk and honey. The sun is not always going to shine. There is going to be more rain than it is sun. But you need to learn how not to be mad at the rain, but dance in the rain when the rain comes. If you don't believe me, turn your Bible back a couple pages and ask Job about some problems and issues. One minute, everything is going oh so well. But the next minute, all hell is breaking loose in your life. You lose everything. The first temptation that Jesus faced is gratification. Somebody say gratification. It's a source of pleasure, especially when it's gained at the satisfaction and of desire. I don't know about you, but I've had to struggle every once in a while with being gratified, wanting my desires. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I seek different things that I shouldn't seek. That's why I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Verse 3 and 4 says, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones, become loaves of bread. But Jesus said to him, no, the scripture says, people of God do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Have you ever really been hungry or thirsty? If you are hungry and thirsty, it does something to your mind. I don't know about you, but I've been hungry and thirsty before, and not just for food. Jesus was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was weak. He had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us can't fast for 40 minutes. We Americans. We constantly got to be shoving something in our mouths. I went overseas, and I'm like, when are we going to eat? The guy said, you just ate this morning. No, when are we going to eat? That's why we're obese. I said, we. I told Pastor, if you don't be careful, all of us going to be obese. I'm going to start calling this church the Fat People's Community Church, because every time we come here, we're eating something. You're messing up my diet. Them carbs. I start my diet Sunday morning. We got fresh bread from Panera in the back. Jesus was hungry. Somebody say hungry. And one of the first things the devil tried to do was play with his mind to give him what he desired. Jesus wanted something to eat. The devil knew Jesus and who he belonged to. He said, if you are the Son of God. The devil knew Jesus. He knew who he was. Just like the devil knows you. He knows who you are. Jesus said, greater work shall you do. We are more powerful than Jesus because we have the Holy Spirit. So the devil knows who you are. The devil knows your power. That's why he constantly bombards you and messes with you. Because if he could keep you past and under your potential.
I
got to slow down, don't I? I'm burning some carbs, though, because I'm sweating. Oh, look, now, see, he just told me they got Panera Bread in the back. So I'm basically preaching for nothing. I just worked up a sweat for nothing.
If the devil can sow seeds of doubt in your mind, the devil wins. Because faith, all you need is the grain the size of a mustard seed. If the devil can shake us that much, then we're useless to God. We're useless to our purpose. But what did Jesus do? He went to the scriptures. He went to the Pentateuch, my seminarian brothers, for help. Not only did he rebuke the devil, but he encouraged himself through scripture. That's why it's important for us to come to Sunday school. That's why it's important for us to go to Bible class. That's why it's important for us to know the word of God. Why? Because sometimes you have to encourage yourself. How do you encourage yourself? Not with the mess that you heard, with what you read. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. To the devil. See, you gotta know the word of God so that you can talk it to the devil and give it back to him. When was the last time you quoted a scripture to the devil? I did this morning on the way here because somebody cut me off. When was the last time you quoted a scripture to yourself to encourage yourself? Jesus said, people do not live by bread alone. See, that's incarnation on display. Rather, we live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Do you know, let me stick a pin, that Jesus never performed a miracle for himself? That's why I'm not Jesus. That's why you're not Jesus. Because I would have turned into Deadpool or Iron Man or somebody came off that cross and got everybody. You'd be fending for your sins, for yourself. But Jesus never did a miracle for anything. The second temptation Jesus faced is putting God to the test. Putting God to the test. The first one was gratification. The second one, the devil wants us to think that God is some genie in the sky, ready to fulfill our wishes. And sometimes we play into that because we roll over at night, God bless them, bless me, and give me peace. Amen. We act like God is standing there with a pen and he's a short order cook taking our order. Okay, he need a car. Amen. All right. He want a wife. All right. Okay, he need an A in school. All right. All right, let me go get that. God is not our genie. Putting God to the test. Verse 5 through 7 says, then the devil took him to the holy city of Jerusalem, the highest point of the temple, and said, if you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Watch this. This shows us that the devil knows scripture, and he knows scripture well. The devil comes to church. The devil's with you at home. He's at work with you. He knows scripture. He quoted Psalms 91, verses 11 through 12 to Jesus. However, he quoted Psalms out of context and incorrectly. Again, that's why we have to understand and know the word of God for ourselves. Why? Because when the devil presents the scripture to you, he's presenting it to you out of context. The devil misquoted the scripture to Jesus to convince him to sin. Again, this is why it's important that we understand God, understand the word of God, so that when somebody, even us preachers, I've sat in the audience and listened to preachers misquote scriptures.
And then the people say, well, pastor said, your pastor's not going to stand next to you. Thank God for Pastor Shannon. He watches over us. The Bible says he prays for us. But guess what? Pastor Shannon not going to be standing there giving excuses for us when we stand before the Lord. Maybe for me, right? I'm going to tell him, go in there and get Dr. Shannon. James E. Shannon. He's sitting on the right hand of God. You said we're all going to sit on the right. He's sitting in there somebody. Tell him to come out here and talk for me. It's not going to happen. The devil's job is to put doubt in our minds so that we will put God to the test. You're coming up on the first of the month and the rent is due. Then the devil said, yeah, but I thought he would supply your needs according to your riches. No, it's his riches and glory. The devil wants you to put your back against the wall so that he can have you to mistrust God. Jesus responded to the devil by going back to the scriptures. Do you see a pattern yet? He goes back to the scriptures. Matter of fact, he went back to Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, chapter 6, verse 16, when he says, you must not tempt the Lord your God. The third and final temptation that we all are going to experience is power. Somebody say power.
Power.
I don't know about you, but power in the wrong hands is dangerous. Get you in trouble. It's got me in a lot of situations. And a few has got me out of. A bad situations. Power, the capacity or the ability to direct influence, the behavior or others, or the course of events. Power, verse 8 and 9 says, next devil took Jesus to a very high peak on the mountain, showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, I'll give this to you if you bow down and worship me. Let me say this. I want you all to understand that there are devil worshipers. There's evil. There was darkness before God made light. And as always, until Jesus comes, until we all go back up and we all are changed, is going to be evil. And guess who rules that evil? The fallen son of this earth, as Ezekiel, the beautiful one who God cast down out of heaven, who took a third of heaven. So that's why we got to be careful when we think God is taking things from us. That's why we got to be careful too when we think God is taking people out of the church or people are leaving the church. You got to understand something. Everything that's taken from you or everything that happens to you is not happening to you from God. If the devil could take a third of heaven, this church don't stand a chance. If the devil can take a third of God's angels, then what's your cousin? What's your mama? What's your son? I ain't preaching about that right now. Okay, all right. Theologians are split. The devil says, if you worship me, Jesus. Again, he knows who Jesus is. He says, if you worship me, I'll give you everything. Theologians are split because some believe that the devil was trying to trick Jesus because he knew that God created the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. So how can the devil give God, Jesus, anything when it all belongs to God? Other theologians think that the devil was offering him what he had as the prince of evil, of the darkness. I'll give you the earth. I'll give you everything. But Jesus turns to him and says, get out of here, Satan. When the devil offers you something, learn how to walk away from it. No matter how pretty it look. That's where you say amen. Now watch this. I'm telling you this not because I'm trying to preach to you. I'm not telling you this because I think I'm better than you. I'm telling you because I've made the mistakes I don't want you to make. Devil know how to put you in a trance. You looking like, oh, yeah. Well, you say, Pastor, that feet stop patting. I think about Billie Jean and that foot stop patting, boy. But get out of here, Satan. See, you got to tell the devil. See, you've got the power. The Bible says resist the devil. That's why. See, look, I got less than 10 minutes to go. That's why I have to be careful because I listen to some of these songs, Larry, and I say, that's not theologically right. But we sing it. I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm going to get my things back. Will you agree with me? Forget back, Satan. The Bible told us to resist the devil and he will flee. He didn't tell me to go to the enemy's camp and take nothing. As the disciples, they went to the enemy's camp and the enemy whooped them. Can you imagine Jesus just laughing and said, well, some things come by praying fasting. Y'all messed up this time. I'm not going to the enemy's camp. I'm chasing after you no matter what I gotta do. Cause I need you more and more. That sound good, don't it? He said, verily I stand knocking, telling you to come in. Let me in and sup with you. He didn't tell me to chase after him. All right. Anyway, that's something else. Get out of here, Satan. Speak to the devil, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Get out of here, Satan. Went back to Deuteronomy, says, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord God and serve him only. Somebody say only. No matter how hard it gets, somebody say only. No matter when you can't see your way, somebody say only. Verse 11 says, the devil went away. Watch this. This is powerful to me. We only read the good part of scripture. But watch this. We missed this nugget. The Bible says, the devil went away and the angels had to come and care for Jesus. Jesus was so frazzled and exhausted and messed up from this encounter with the devil that the angels had to come and care for him. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Jesus was so messed up by everything that the devil threw at him. He was already tired. He was already weak. And he was so messed up that God had to send his angels to cover him. It wore him out. So the next time you feel inadequate, the next time you slip and fall, the next time you lie, the next time you kill somebody with your mouth, repent. Why? Because even Jesus was messed up by his encounter with the devil. The devil tempted Jesus physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Diabetes, blood pressure, bipolar, borderline, schizophrenia. I've lived with a person. I know how it is. Nobody had to tell me. And physically and psychologically. And he will surely tempt us the same way on a daily basis. But I want you to know, as I go to my seat, when the devil throws everything he has at you, I want you to understand that Jesus knows. And he cares. The Bible says he sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, making intercession for us. God, don't take him out. God, give him another chance. Why? Because he understands. And as I walk away from the pulpit, now I can understand what my grandmother was talking about when she said all night. And all day, the angels watch over me. Put those hands together and give God a praise.